Welcome to Hold Up, a podcast where we talk about shows that make people say, wait, is that still on? My name is Grace and my co-host is Hudson. Hey, Hudson.
Hey, excited to talk about the show that's still on 21 years later.
We both watched it last night, like a new episode, season 41. Yeah. Maybe you watch it today. I don't know if you watch it live.
Oh, I watch it live because America. Okay.
Yeah. Talking about Survivor, particularly season one, episode one. But I think we're going to touch on a whole bunch of stuff. All of season one, probably a few character arcs, and then we'll dive into what happened on the new episode last night. Yeah. But things are good. Things are good.
Yeah, I just, drove up to Buffalo for a little vacation. So Grace and I are
Nothing close. Says vacation as... like Buffalo.
And my dad went to college here, so it's got a lot of good memories for him. So we're going to, we're going to see, downtown, go to different parts of the city, go to the lake. I'm going to wave to Grace from across the lake.
Yeah. I mean, we all know that vacations are not what they used to be since COVID. It's like, Buffalo, that sounds like a nice escape. it's not what it once was, So anyway,
Yeah, so I'm on the road recording, so my mic isn't as good as usual, so just letting folks know.
Sound great. We watched Survivor last night, but today we watched season one, episode one of the show that, it's interesting. I was thinking about how I have all this stuff that's not necessarily Survivor related, but all these things I'm doing. I play Dungeons and Dragons a lot with a group of people I met online, and all of those connections pretty much are because of the show Survivor. So many of the people I hang out with and do stuff online, I know because of the Survivor community. It's wild, right? You and I are here because Survivor was on, and then Rob was on Survivor, and then he started podcasting, and we were patrons. That's how we know each other.
Yeah. I know. It really is a connecting force. I've gotten a few of my friends into the show, and then I've found out other people I'm friends with are into the show. So I feel like it's actually, or gotten to the show, during COVID. I feel like that was a really big thing that happened to a lot of people.
When it dropped on Netflix, right?
Yeah. I think people and also I think it just hit at the right time for nostalgia. Mm-hmm. And so I'm really excited, there's a bar near me, a gay bar near me that's doing, viewings. I missed last night's, but I'm going to start going,
Fun.
I
wasn't able to make it to the Toronto. There were some patrons who got together from Rob as a podcast. I was not able to make it, last night, but hopefully normally the premiere and the finale, everybody gets together. So probably.
Yeah. I didn't go to the New York City patron meetup because it's in Midtown Manhattan. I had to get up early to hit the road this morning.
Yeah.
And Midtown is just, I don't go to Midtown. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Honestly, and there was that big party that two former Survivor players had. So, yes. And I didn't get tickets, so I had the FOMO anyway.
Yeah. You can watch it all through the Rob Has a Podcast Instagram takeover. It's interesting. I think that Survivor has a pretty substantial LGBTQ following, at least it feels like that to me. I don't know whether that's actually true if you looked at actual demographics of people who watch the show, but it does feel like there is this there is this community of people. Maybe that's just anything that this is big is going to have that subsections community. But what is it for you? What drew you to Survivor?
I was just I was 11 years old. I was at my dad's house, and he doesn't have cable, so I was just flipping through, the five channels we had, and it was Survivor Season 2. I think it may have been the Gross Food Challenge, and mm-hmm. for an 11-year-old, that's, a very connecting thing, and that's how I got into it. And then I came out, and I was, kind of disappointed there wasn't really much, queer women representation when I was still identifying that way, and then I almost gave up on the show after All Stars. And then, of course, season 9 was the first season to have two women who openly discuss their partners of the same mm-hmm. sex, because mm-hmm. they aren't the first queer women to be on the show, but they are the first to have it televised. And so that mm-hmm. kept me on the show for one more season before I took my big long break till season 34.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I'm sort of in a similar boat, actually. Like, I watched season one. I remember watching the Gretchen boot specifically, and so it feels like a lot of people that was their like entry point. I don't know why specifically, but yeah, I do remember that. And then I watched it with my mom and my family, and we would watch it. The thing I remember is we would always have Sundays on the finale because it was on Sunday. So my mom would buy ice cream and then Sunday toppings, and so it would be Sundays for Sunday Survivor. So I remember watching that, and then yeah, I probably watched to about All Stars, and then kind of fell off of it a little bit. Like, it just wasn't a thing I was watching regularly, and then I kind of came back. Gabon was the first season that I dove back in. That was the first season that was in HD. It was like, ooh, interesting. And it was like this beautiful location, and I was rehooked. And so then, I kept with it ever since. Really got into the Rob as a Podcast stuff with like Second Chances with all the interviews. And I've since gone back and like watched all the stuff I missed, but yeah, that's like my Survivor story. Yeah. And I feel like in terms, like, it's interesting that I feel like it has this like following, and maybe it's just the thing that any big enough community is going to have LGBTQ people as part of the community, because yeah, the representation has been like pretty like hit or miss or like non-exist. Like it's there in the beginning. It's not there. There are people who are gay in the first season, but it's not, you know, in this episode we were kind of like, oh, we'll go back, and then it doesn't come up at all. Like, either of their sexualities doesn't get talked about in the first episode at all. It's been there the whole time, and yet like in some ways it feels like it's not, or you know. So we've talked about Big Brother as a show and its representation. I feel like Survivor didn't quite do as much, you know, stereotype casting, but it's not that much better than what Big Brother has produced.
Yeah, they do have having more recently. Seasons, so they have bigger, more cast members to sure. be able to defy some stereotypes. I mean, like Rich isn't like he isn't. What in 2000 was the stereotypical gay, which I would for say sure. is kind of like the Jack from Will and Grace.
Yes.
So, I think that was, you know, a bit on the progressive side that he didn't, they didn't have him lead with his sexuality, which,
true. I mean, that was the thing I was surprised in this episode doesn't really come up. And so, it doesn't come up. And I remember it being such a big part of him. Like people talking about, like, yeah, this big like gay guy who's naked all the time, like he's the winner, you know. But yeah, he's not a stereotype, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, he's kind of like the kind of person you don't want as the gay role model, tax evader.
And he's in the first season. He's this like he's sneaky is maybe not the best, you know. First representation of this deceiving guy, because I can see where like some people would have been like, yeah, oh, that guy, you know, like it's like, but that's just who he was, like, you know, and arguably the best player to play for quite a while until his, you know, someone inevitably comes and changes the game. But you know, in that first season he's heads and shoulders better than everybody else he's playing against.
Yeah, he's like the granddad of strategy. Like, what would the show been, you know, if strategy wasn't rewarded?
Yeah, there's this whole debate, right? Of like, if Kelly wins, is it the show that like, you know, the Aussies, you know, of the world come in and like dominate and win? Whereas, yeah, I think that Richard being awarded the win kind of made the show what it is, which is this like show that I think a lot of us mostly watch it for the strategy and not the survival aspects of it.
Yeah, I'm not, you know, I like the survival aspect of it. I think, you know, it's intriguing to see people strip down to like their essentials. If even that,
and or like, nothing like Richard,
yeah. Which I think makes the show more interesting to me than like Big Brother, like, which is just pure either social strategy or hooking up or physical beasting in comfort.
Yeah,
I don't know, and like I feel like that definitely was part of for me, and also just seeing other, you know, locations was always really interesting. It's kind of like, you know, I do really wish they would move away from Fiji, but like. It's not going to happen. We've been wanting this for years.
I could see them being like, we're moving away from Fiji and we're going to, you know, insert other island tropical location. Like, I could see that they get, you know, they're like, yeah, the island is depleted, like whatever, you know, we'll move somewhere else. But there's certainly no way that they're doing like, you know, we're going to Kenya this season, or like, you know, or Thailand, or, you know,
yeah,
Thailand arguably one of the worst seasons, but like, yeah, we're not going to these new, even Cambodia, and they did Second Chances. It was kind of like a nice refresher of like, it felt kind of like they were like going to new places because they've been doing the themes for a while, but yeah.
Yeah, but then that's the season that aired before but came after Cambodia. Like, they basically, half the cast like got horrendously ill due to like infection and heat from the Cambodian island where they were staying. So
both of the Koh Rong season and the Cambodia season were like pretty rough. So you know, and they talk about like Marquesas, like, as you know, was notoriously one of the worst bug seasons. So I feel like they've just like settled into like, this is easy. It's hard enough. You know, it's fine. And it's beautiful. So, like, you know, whatever.
Yeah. And Jeff's, like, 60 at this point, right? So, like, he doesn't want to have to, like, go to new places, right? He's, like Hawaii is, like, basically a halfway point between Fiji and L.A., so where he lives. So, I bet, like, it's, like, real easy for him.
I imagine he doesn't, you know, them moving around doesn't cause him too much hassle. I bet, like, no matter where they are, he's in a rather nice building. It's like all the tax break stuff, right? Like, they have a deal with the Fijian government to like basically just hold up there and hang out and film Survivor, right? So
I believe it was they suspended the tax breaks during COVID, so I don't know if they still have the tax break.
Oh, interesting. Well, anyway, yeah.
That's the minutia of Survivor, which
this is the stuff we get into, and you've talked about it for like hundreds of hours.
yeah or listen to people talk about it for hundreds of hours. Like, we both participated in Rob Has a Podcast countdown of the top of like every season, where Grace was on the main episode for Game Changers and I was on the patron only feedback show,
and Vanuatu.
Oh yes, and of course you
talked about Amy and Scout Cloudley. Yeah,
nice. Yes, I've you know, it's been, both those seasons were like, had their episodes on Rob's podcast so long ago that I forgot.
Yeah, it feels a long time ago.
It was still winter.
Going back to, I know. going back to the first episode, going back to Rich. I love, like, it's so fun to rewatch this first episode. The marooning is really fun, but it's so fun to see how much Richard would be voted out first if this was on a new season. Like, him sitting up in the tree and being like, his argument with, like, not argument, but this like debate, this philosophical debate with Sue about, like, you know, we got to have a plan. We have to be moving in the right direction. We have to work together as a team. And Sue being like, yeah, all that business, it's not going to work out here. That's my Rudy impression. It's not Sue. I don't think I can do a Sue. You know, but she's like, corporate world ain't going to work out here. Like, buddy, like, get, you know, and so, yeah, to see Richard just like sit back and sort of hold court is really fun. And he says, you know, write me the $1 million check. And as we all know, if we're spoiling this for you, I'm so sorry. But, you know, you have had 41 seasons to catch up. But
21 years.
He goes, yeah, 21 years. He goes on to win, right? And it's like so fun to see in this first episode that he like, he makes some waves. And I think like he's right. And he's sort of like, he gets away with it in a sense. Like, he doesn't, you wouldn't get away with this in a new season of Survivor.
I do wonder if that was just how he was almost like, I know, like, obviously he looked like he did do the like talking from the tree thing, but then he also has these like other like confessionals where he's very perceptive. He's like, oh, people are saying Rudy's really arrogant. And I'm like, what are they going to think about me once he gets voted out? So, that sort of thing. So I feel like
he's very perceptive. I would agree.
So like, I feel like, he had a bad first showing, but I like, he really learns to like scale himself back, and like he is kind of lucky that he does get that break. And I think if there were no weak link like Sonia on their, you know, their tribe, then he would have been really you know, like in trouble.
Sonia even has the like ukulele moment where she sings the song Bye Bye Blues, and she's singing it to Rich. Like, that's like, shows a little bit even of like, yeah, Sonia gets voted out. Richard doesn't vote for Sonia. It's like an interesting thing in this first, he votes for Stacey. Right? Yes, have that right?
He does vote for Stacey.
And so, yeah, it's this interesting thing where like, they're kind of like, yeah, he does have this really like, he comes off really arrogant in this first scene, and yet, you know, there is glimpses of how he's perceptive, and he is making social bonds. He does it both in this episode, both with Sonia and with Rudy, right? Which we can get into Rudy and Rich, but yeah, it's his game is like really fascinating to rewatch. It's so fun. I like every time I've gone back to watch it.
Yeah, it's been a minute for me, and like I really do wish we could see him in a modern season, and that will never happen. And I think he has rightfully been kind of blacklisted for his behavior in All Stars, which TLDR, he basically sexually harassed somebody, and so he's kind of no longer allowed on the show. Although they did try to get him into Heroes versus Villains, but he couldn't because of his he was on like probation or parole.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad certainly that like, yeah, he made this like choice in the game that yeah, he like sexually harasses Sue during the challenge, and like, I think it's like fair that like, yeah, you don't get to come back anymore. It's not until recently that they were like, oh yeah, that's like yeah, we shouldn't bring him back. Yeah, they did want to bring him back for Heroes versus Villains. I feel like where he like sort of like got lost, like I guess in the years he got lost a little bit. There was like all the tax. I guess the tax stuff happens before Heroes versus Villains. That's why you can't go. So, yeah, it does feel like yeah, they did try and bring him back, and then recently they're like, oh, actually, probably no, right? Which I don't. I mean, Survivor has a very like checkered past. If you basically listen to like the first five episodes of the countdown, at least everything in, there's at least one thing in every one of those seasons that are like. Oh yeah, this is why this is like low. Like it's not fun to watch. Like yeah, the whole like social experiment thing maybe went a little bit yeah, too far,
Yeah,
So.
honestly, anything before season 19, I feel like season 19 is when Jeff finally like got woke, because like that's when he like allows, Jason to like really dig into Ben Browning, who was being extremely racist, and like very much siding with, Jason's point of view on what was going on, which was the correct way to look at it, because this dude was being racist. And I think that's the first time he, actually came out for some sort of like social issue, I feel. And before that, they kind of let anything fly. There was, 'cause I feel like there was a lot of like covert and overt racism, sexism, homophobia, all that fun stuff, sexual harassment, going on throughout the seasons, like the early ones.
I feel like even in the stuff that happened in Island of the Idols, I think a lot of their like mentality was like, we don't want to be interfering with the game, which is so funny because people think they interfere with the game anyway, even if they don't. So like, who really cares? But like, when it come when like they I think drew the line not in the right place. They let some stuff in that like is not good. I do think they've like learned, and for whatever reason they've learned of like, ooh, that's bad PR, or like generally like, if you watch Kelly Kim in the like, reunion interview she does with Jeff, like it does legitimately like hurt people. Some of the stuff they've like let happen on the show. Reality TV can so like can be so hard for people anyway to go through. And then when you add in like, yeah, letting this stuff sort of slide for the sake of it's a social experiment and we have to see what happens. Sucks. It's not good. I think that they have like, hopefully they've drawn the line in a place that like I, we don't see that stuff come up because they've like vetted enough, or there's just like such immediate action. I think the thing was interesting, like last night, like what did you think of Jeff like asking about like come on in guys, and then it coming up again with Ricard? Like what did you think of that moment? Because I've seen a lot of positive, and I've seen some ways in which people have perceived it as Jeff giving himself a nice little pat on the back.
I'm very much in the this was performative. I think if Jeff wanted it to change, he should have just done it and not, and like maybe said, not ask the, the people, like, can I, like, is it okay for me to change it? Not ask the contestants. I think he should have either, I think he should have just made the announcement, look, I'm not going to say come on in guys anymore. I've thought on this and it doesn't feel right. Or he just should have started saying come on in folks or whatever he's going to say, but we don't know yet because he still said
I think
come
he's
on.
just saying, come on in. I think
So,
he said, now I'm just gonna say, come on in.
I feel like it felt very performative, and also so you may have not seen these ads, but on Paramount Plus, back when it was still CBS All Access, they would show these ads of like all like their TV shows, kind of like a sizzle reel, and they would show like Jeff saying like "Come on in, guys" as part of the sizzle reel sort of thing. So like I would see this commercial like at least once a TV show, because I was not paying for, ad-free CBS All Access. So I feel like he was seeing this all during the pandemic, him saying, come on in, guys, like, and thinking about it, and like this is like part of his persona. Like, it's not even his top catchphrase, but it's part of his like his repertoire.
It's it's in there. It's certainly it's up there. Like, you know, if there's not a Come On In Guys like podcast, like I'll eat my hat, you know, like I bet it's out there, you know, like it's enough in the in his stuff that people know he says, right? Like a thing. It's enough that like people sort of get excited when they're like, you know, ooh, I'm going to be on Survivor and he's going to say, come on in, guys. And I'm going to get to like, come on in, you know, like, it's in there. I like the change. You know, there probably is a way to do to announce it and have, because I think the important part for me is not that it's just changed, but that there is some sort of explanation on the show of or acknowledgement that, you know, we're changing, you know, like this is why we're doing it. Because I think that there is, you know, I've had this conversation a million times. Like, does guys bother you? Like, does, and it's like, not really. Like, I know or normally know the intent, but the reason I have tried to change my vocabulary is because it bothered me before I came out. Like, when I knew I was trans, but I wasn't able to transition, I was like, I'm not a guy. I don't want you to call me a guy. And then when I, like, this is the whole thing I always say about, like, labels became less important for me. Like, I can totally understand that people are not saying guys to specifically say, hey, all of you are men. Like, all of you in this group that I'm talking to are specifically men. But for me, the reason I've changed my language, because I don't actually know how people identify. I don't know if that word, you know, bothers you. And I think that the word has patriarchal, like, subtext. I don't know what the right word, like, you know, subconsciously, you know, we're willing to call everybody guys, but we wouldn't say, hey, girls, like, to just a group of everybody. Or like the example that I've seen a lot with like dude is people like, I use dude for everybody. It's like, would you say that you like slept with that dude? Which is like, this is like gets into like homophobic territory, because of course they wouldn't say that. But like, you know, it's patriarchal that we like default to men is the default. And then also just like, I don't know how people identify. And if it means that I can like say something that bothers less people, why wouldn't I try to make a conscious effort to do that, is my opinion. I hope Troy Zan's not listening, because I saw you got fired up on Twitter today. But like, sorry, dude. Like, dude, I just said it.
He identifies as a man, so it's okay.
He identifies as a dude. But like, we're just trying to say stuff that is less hurtful than what we've been saying before, you know?
Yep. That's all. That's, you know, that it's interesting, like you saying, like we default to like masculine, you know, signifiers when we're like talking to a group of people. And like, you know, like I like, you know, with Spanish and French, and I imagine with other romance languages, you know, like when you're talking to a group of people, you default like for they. If it's a group of men and women, it's ellos, which is you know, or Aelish, I can't pronounce it. It's always the masculine version that they default to, right, when they're saying, right, they for a group, right, of people. So it's like ingrained in other cultures. It's not just English, but it's just like an interesting thing to think about. Sorry, I'm learning. I'm in Spanish class on Wednesdays,
yeah,
also.
Showing
so,
your chops. Yeah.
Yeah. Sí. Yo hablo español un poquito.
I only know the community rap in Spanish.
Yeah.
So like I think that's my thing with like guys. I think probably there's a way to do that you're right. Like, he talked to the camera a lot last night. Just say like, hey, I'm not gonna use guys anymore. I'm not just gonna say come on in, and then he does it. Because like, one of the things that he did in this episode is he like, I don't know, I have a little bit of a problem with like, he's like, I'm glad that's the last time I'm ever gonna say it. Well, if you knew that was going to be, if you knew you shouldn't have said it, then you shouldn't have said it. Even if you were doing it performatively, right?
Yeah.
Like, you are then, you don't get one last time to mess, like, you can slip up. This is an edited TV show. Like, you didn't slip up. Like, right? Like, if you're like, I'm never going to use the word guys again. And then, like, I'm talking to you and you say guys. Like, cool. I'll let it slide. It's like, subconscious. But in an edited TV show, I don't think you get to, like, you know, let's I'm just gonna do it one more time, even though I know that like people, you know, it's not great. So, you know, anyway, whatever. Interesting, yeah, that the show, you know, at the end of the day, I like the decision, and I won't harp on it too much.
Yeah, I mean, the decision's fine with me. I don't have an issue with it. You know, people change language, how people feel about language changes, and I respect, you know, that he did some growing and decided it didn't feel right for him. But yeah, like, I don't know if you watched the TV show Brooklyn Nine-Nine, but they're kind of addressing similar things on their new season, which just finished airing. And in the season premiere, they have a character named Boyle kind of doing the same thing, where he's very overly performative about the fact that he is in solidarity with black people. And
yes, I have watched an episode, yes.
And basically, the character who he's doing this kind of performative solidarity with is like, I need you to stop doing this, because just be an ally. Don't let me know you're being an ally. Just, you know, I feel like that's what Jeff is doing. The hardcore, he's doing what is like what a TV show did to lambast people who were being overly performative. Like,
yeah, yeah. Some of it, I think, like, you know, they are TV producers. They are trying to make entertainment. I think some of it was just like, we're going to make this point and make it the best way we think we can, so that, you know, because he jokes that, like, yeah, people are going to be mad on Twitter at me. I'm not going to read it, you know, whatever. But in some ways, he is doing the, like, I think, like, let me help people understand. I just don't think it was like, I think there was a better way to do that, if that makes sense, to not make it seem so, you know, hey, you guys, should I not do that anymore? Like, he always knew he wasn't going to do it. So, like, I don't know. Don't put it on them. And also, like, what happens if all of them are like, no, we love coming in, guys. Like, like, I know that they wouldn't, right? Like, Ricard, like, eventually comes back and it's like, actually, I don't like it.
That was so
But that's
cringe.
A lot of pressure, you know? Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway, yeah.
That's last night's episode.
Yeah. I mean, I would love to keep talking about last night's episode. We'll try to keep on top, because there were three queer people that were very, like, nonchalantly, you know, queer on the episode. Mm. And, you know, mm-hmm. there might be even more people on the season who are queer. We just don't know yet. Like, I don't believe Jeannie said in any of her pre-season press that she had a wife. I think I just assumed that she was queer because of the nose ring.
I didn't watch a lot of pre-season press, but I seem to remember, like, knowing that she was, but I don't know how I would have known that. So anyway, it doesn't matter. But yeah.
Like, I only knew about Ricard and Evie being like 100% out mm-hmm. before the show. And it's really great, you know, that, you know, they cast three openly queer people at least, you know, and like, I don't think there's a lot of seasons. I can't think of another season. Maybe an All-Star season. No, I don't even think an All-Star season had that many queer people.
Micronesia? Does Micronesia come close? There's at least two. There's and Chet, right? Chet,
yes. They'll do a gay man and a queer woman.
Well, it was interesting last night. I mean, we'll come back to, we'll finish on like Rich and Rudy and Sonia, but Ricard, I thought, I really didn't watch a lot of preseason prep. I purposely don't really. It's not my favorite way to like jump into a season, is to have know everything about everybody beforehand. I really, you know, I kind of prefer to see what happens to them when they're on the island. So I don't watch a ton of preseason prep. And I was very excited about Ricard because I knew he was a gay man. I knew that he's also deaf. So he's or hard of hearing in one ear. He's not deaf. I don't think he's just like has very low hearing in one of his ears. So I was like, okay. And that's like a person with a disability. Like, you know, this is really cool. And I was very excited about Evie. And then Ricard is doing his video pack. And he's talking about, you know, I was adopting kids and, you know, and then I found my husband, you know, and he's talking about how much he's in love with his husband. And his husband turns out to be a trans man. And I was like very excited about that as well. Like, I don't know. It's like, it's not like it's like super representation on the show, but like for him to just talk openly about like, I'm a gay man, I'm in a relationship and my husband is a trans man and pregnant. I don't know if, I don't know if he's pregnant now or like what. I don't know what the I didn't go back and rewatch it, so I don't know.
I believe his husband was going to be giving birth like right after he got back from
that's wild. But it's just like, just the like when you talk about the word nonchalant is to me like what I loved about it, that it was so just like, yeah, my husband is like, you know, I'm leaving my husband who's a trans man is having, you know, it's just like it said, not this like shock moment of like other people like hearing it and being like, you know, oh my, you know, it just is like this thing about Ricard that we like get in the video package. I'm like super rooting for Ricard now. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I loved it as a moment on its own, but in the entire episode, I felt like they were really, really trying to push like, this, we are, look how open and inclusive we are now, like I really felt that, and it so like as an individual moment it was wonderful, but it felt like they were almost using him to me and like I don't know if you ever watched Project Runway, but they rebooted it after the Me Too scandals because Harvey Weinstein was one of the executive producers on the show. And so they rebooted it without him, new host, new everything. And they very much made it like, this is very, we're very like, whoa, we're very like, you know, we're pro the young women who are the models. And we're going to actually give them personality and like actually treat them like humans instead of, you know, like hangers. And we're going to feature a trans woman as a model. And we're going to like, you know, really diversify our cast like way before everyone else was doing it. But it also felt like they were really, really like being like, look how great and progressive we are now. And I kind of got that from Survivor. They're really trying to show like what a great and progressive and 21st century show we are in modern and like not stuck in their old ways. And that really,
Feelings.
Mixed feelings for sure. Like I think it's a net positive for sure. And I'm just like, I hate that I feel this way, but I'm like worried for what like the conservative audience of Survivor is going to be saying like on the Facebook page and like seeing the hate that's going to come out for people, the diverse cast, because there are these ignorant people who watch the show. They don't really interact with the podcast or the super fan community and just complain on the Facebook page, which is why I don't look at the Facebook page.
I mean, this is what's happening in Big Brother, right? Is these people are getting like, you know, saying that it's racist for these people to be. It's like, it's not, you don't understand racism then. Like, I'm sorry, but like, you don't like, you know, the power dynamics have never been that like black people have more power over, you know, white people. So it's not racist. And yet like it's going to happen. And it does suck. And, you know, I, to me, that is the responsibility of Survivor. To if you're going to have a Facebook page, so you have the comments, like I think that, you know, and there's not an endless amount of things they can do, and they can't fix it perfectly. There will, like, unfortunately, there will always be shitty people out there who will troll and make new accounts, even if they get banned and whatever. I definitely feel for them. And I don't know what it's like to, like, you know, get attacked on social media for my race, you know. Yeah, definitely. That definitely sucks that will happen to them. I do think, you know, I hope Survivor, you know, this was a big Zeke thing, was like the stuff that they provided Zeke in terms when he got outed is the stuff that they should baseline be providing every Survivor player. And so I hope that has been improved as well as like all the changes they're making on camera and behind the scenes. Like apparently they're trying to make sure production is, and I don't know if that was like happening at the same time, but make sure that, you know, the people who are telling these stories are also representative of you know, who these stories are being, you know, told, so that, you know, it's not then just like, yeah, you could put more black people on the show, but then it's not just like white people telling black people's stories, I think is important. So yeah, I didn't feel, you know, there was so much happening last night on Survivor that I say last night in the new episode of Survivor, I didn't totally feel like, yeah, okay, they're like, you know, this is it. I felt like there was so much like, this is the new era of the game, that I didn't feel like the only thing they were saying was like, okay, this is a new era only because now we're being better. But it does remind me a little bit. I'm a big, as you know, wrestling fan. And a few years ago, they had this guy, a black guy, Kofi Kingston, win their world title, the first black wrestler to win that world title. And it's so funny to hear this company be like, look, we did it. And it's like, yeah, but you've been around for like 50 years. Like, that's not great. You know that that's not great, right? You know, like, it is good. It's good, but also it's not great that this is your first black champion because you've been around for like 50 years, right? You have to know that in some ways that's not good. And so, I think it's similarly interesting. Like, yeah, you've been off for 41 seasons. Like, in some ways, this is like, should not be, you should not exactly be like, we should not give you a standing ovation for this, you know?
No, so, not at all. Yeah. Like, and
to meet the bar, to meet the expectations. Yeah, it's not standing ovation worthy.
It's sad that the expectations are like, as long as a cis straight man does not win the season, I'll be like happy. Like, because the show, Jeff basically implemented the change, if you don't watch Survivor, that has pretty much like crippled like women from winning the show, because it's very much about showing how an alpha male can win this show and like giving alpha males there's a leg up to win. That's how I see those twists they implemented in season 35.
Yeah. It's been rough, so I don't know.
Yeah, like Rich would not, and Rich even wouldn't have won season one if this twist called the fire making twist, which basically
Rich wins the fire making challenge in season one.
Wait, when was the fire? When was the fire?
They have to make fire in a bucket. Mm-hmm. I think they have to fill. They have to make a fire and then fill water in the bucket. It's not like a traditional fire making challenge, but they do. I remember he like dances around the beach in this. Mm-hmm. He has this weird dance. He makes fire first. For
yes.
Sure.
Yes. Okay. Okay. So maybe Rich still would have won, but Tina would not have won season two.
Yeah.
We would have had a lot of less women winners overall, and we already have
for sure.
A lot of women
for sure.
winners, which is very yeah. frustrating.
Yeah.
But anyway, back to episode one.
Season one, episode one.
Yeah. So we haven't really talked about Sonia. She is the first person ever to be voted out of Survivor, and mm-hmm. she also happens to be an openly, I think she identifies as a lesbian, and
yeah.
She was in her 60s on the show, and she's in her 80s now, and she's still kicking. She is a breast cancer survivor. She mm-hmm. is very, you know, I don't know what her job is, because she was just, her job was breast cancer survivor.
Musician. She's a musician, apparently.
And she kind of gets her dues with that little song she sings to Rich, and I think it's, like, important that it's to Rich, because it's, like, almost like, here's our winner in our first boot together. You know, they're both queer people. They're both older. I mean, Rich wasn't that old. He was 39, I believe, when he was on the show. I think it was just like the gray beard that mm-hmm. gets the age.
Yeah.
But other than that, we don't get much from her. You know, she talks about how she's older than everyone else, and you know that means she has thinner skin, so she's going to cut easier, and that she can't be acting like she's in her 30s on this island. So I think it mostly highlights the fact that she's the weakest person on her tribe, and that she's kind of. She's gonna go home.
Yeah, like tough. You know, there's not much I think that they can do in this. You know, who else are they gonna vote for? I mean, there is Rudy as well, but Rudy's a little bit more, I would say, like, you know, helpful around camp, for sure. But I love Sonia. I love the ukulele and her song, which like it's. I guess it is it. Did they just pay for the rights to this? Like, it's not like a super famous song, but I can't remember the story. Is this a real song? It's a satire of a song.
It's
I can't
a parody,
remember the story.
Yeah. I think she wrote a parody, and I think because it's a parody. Because
you can
like
play it
because they cut out Rob's, like
right,
parody
right.
also. Yeah. So they must. I feel like they because it was season one. They like paid. They let it go.
She's so cute. She's great. I really love her. I think she's like almost like a perfect first boot in the sense of like, you know, not that anybody really knew it was happening in season, but like she's certainly to me more memorable than like if Dirk had been voted out first or something, you know, like I really like Sonia. I think it's interesting that like, you know, the first two queer contestants on the show ever go out first and then win.
Yeah.
The show is sort of an interesting just like bookmark thing. I'm kind of sad that they don't talk about her being a lesbian at all, because I think it adds, you know, a lot to her. I think specifically we've talked on the show a lot about like how it's hard sometimes for there to be like queer elders, that, you know, we've talked more about, you know, there's more queer elders, I think around now for us, like us specifically, we talk about like, there's a lack of trans elders cause it's hard to just imagine yourself growing old. But I feel like that would have been like really powerful for mm-hmm. like Sonia to be out on the show, like in the show, to be out. So it's too bad that they just probably felt like it's too controversial. Like, what is controversial about Sonia Christopher?
Nothing.
Like nothing. She's an adorable old lady who plays ukulele. Like, yeah, struggles in the challenge. She's very cute, and I'm very happy she's like part of the legacy of the show. I just wish, you know, as per usual on this show, it's like, I want more from you, Survivor, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like the next time we get like an elder queer, it's Scout. And
uh-huh.
Scout, despite, you know, the great representation, she was kind of a drip on her season.
Yeah, she almost won, but yeah. But Scout kind of gets what Sonia like could have gotten, you know, 10 seasons or 9 seasons earlier, you know, to be out on the show, to be this like, you know, elder lesbian. And, you know, Sonia, I don't know how, or Scout, I don't know how old. She would have been like in her 60s, probably.
I feel like late 50s or early
50. 60s. Because I was just seeing actually that like there's only ever been two women who are older than 60 to ever play Survivor, which is Sonia and Jillian from Gabon. So Scout had to be younger than 60. So
sorry,
but yeah, I just kind of wish. Elephant dung.
Yes.
Yeah, I just, you know, it would have been nice to give Sonia a bit more of what her story. She doesn't get a ton in this episode, right? She like sings a song. She's like kind of struggling, although she's like trying to keep in there. She's very cute, but yeah, they inevitably vote her out.
Yeah, I just want to let you know, Scout was 59 when she was on the show. She was born in she was born in 44, yeah. So yeah. So she was definitely elder.
For sure, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, I thought this was the episode where Rich was going to be talking about being gay at Tribal, but it isn't. I guess it must be the third episode when he does, because BB goes home next episode two, right? And then Stacey's voted out in episode three, and that's the famous episode with the litigation. So,
Is that when he first comes out? Is that Tribal, or does it come up at camp? Because I feel like there could be stuff in the next episode where, like, because I feel like you get it at camp before you get it at Tribal, but maybe I'm wrong.
I believe he doesn't. Rudy's in the dark until Tribal, I think.
Oh.
That's how I remember it, but I could be wrong. I didn't rewatch past episode one, so.
Yeah, me neither. But, I mean, let's just talk about the Rich and Rudy of it all, because it's, like, one of the most, like, memorable things, I think, from the first season, certainly, is their relationship, their dynamic of Rudy sort of being this, like, you know, he has opinions, and he has views that he doesn't agree with, there's things he doesn't agree with, and yet he's like, yeah, but, you know, Rich is a good guy, like, he's hardworking, as we get in this episode, like, he, you know, he's fat, but he's good, you know? So, like, yeah, he just has these, I don't know, he has his viewpoints, and it does, like, in this game, like, he doesn't seem like a, you know, he's not a strategist, and yet he's in this, like, crucial alliance because he's willing to work with Rich, basically, right? Like, that's his connection to that group. I don't think he cares that much about Kelly or Sue, but this is just his way of getting further in the game, and he's willing to work with Rich and actually seems to quite like Rich. I think it's not too dissimilar of, like, Bunky and Kent from season two of Big Brother, right? This, like, guys, you know, Kent is much more like, you know, oh, these gays, you know, yeah, I don't believe in, you know, same-sex marriage, blah, blah. And then Bunky comes out, and Kent kind of has a change of heart in that way. Rudy seems kind of, like, surprised by Rich from the offset. And so when he does come out, it's like, well, whatever, I like him for a bunch of other reasons anyway, even if I don't, like, support him being gay. It's just really interesting dynamic to have in season one. When you talk about a social experiment, like, they struck gold with Rudy and Rich.
Yeah, I mean, the casting was great on season one. I mean, like, Rudy is the original recruit. Because he was very famous in the Navy world, because he is, like, the best Navy SEAL to ever live, sort of thing. And I think it's interesting that he, you know, I feel like he would often, you know, say derogatory things about Rich, even to Rich's face, to, like, show that he really doesn't support gay rights, to keep his, like, you know, his reputation within the military, like, good.
Yeah.
I don't know if you got that, because, like, he loves calling Rich queer, and this was before queer became a catch-all term for LGBT folks. And I've actually heard, like, other podcasts, like, kind of credit Rudy for, you know, popularizing that term and normalizing.
You can't
that term.
Give no way. They're giving Rudy credit. You can't give Rudy credit for repopularizing queer.
To be fair, this was, like, a bunch of straight men talking about it. This was on, I believe, the Survivor historians were talking about it.
No way. That's so false. So,
I know. It's
so, yeah. I mean, I'll credit Rudy with a lot of things, but I don't think we can give him credit for reclaiming queer.
I don't think he reclaimed her, but I think he may have brought it back into the language. Like, I think it would kind of had, like, become just like a slur for a really long time.
I think it's pretty close, like, whether Rudy knows that it's, like, whether he knows that he's sort of saying I feel like Rudy heard that term and thinks it's okay for him to say it and is saying it in a way, but I feel like he heard it as like, I mean, he's around for a while. Maybe I'm giving him like, maybe I'm not giving enough credit, but like, I don't know. Rudy using queer to me is like, I don't know. I don't love it actually in the history of the show. But you know,
yeah I don't either.
We didn't get to see any clips. So yeah. Yeah.
It's just,
I mean, the show was friggin' popular. It's really like hard to like really like, it's, you know, it happens at a time. Like, I don't think on the edge of the end of like weekly TV watching, like, I feel like the last thing that like hit the zeitgeist like that was like Game of Thrones. So I think we're like well off of like water, like before the end of water cooler talk. But this show had like 20 million people are like, is it 40? How many people watched the finale?
I think 40 million.
51 million.
Wow.
We're like, yeah, 51.69 million people watched the last episode of this show. Like, it's astronomical to think about how huge it was. And like before that, it was getting like 28, 27, like 26. Like, an average most weeks of like 20, in the high 20s. Like, it just was a huge show. And so like, yeah, I think that like, certainly we could say, you know, there's something there about like the importance of Rudy being on TV and having sort of that, you know, the like reaction he has, and that he's not like, you want to talk about a fumbling ally.
Yeah.
If we put Rudy as an ally, but sort of this, like, you know, I don't know, he's certainly fumbling, you know, in the way he's like trying to explain that he's okay with Rich, you know? So I don't know.
Yeah. But he also like kind of isn't okay with Rich. Like, he's kind of like, you know, my army buddy, my Navy buddy's new, blah, blah, blah. Like, I think Sue is more of a better fumbling ally than Rudy, because I feel like she just doesn't care at all about what Rich's sexuality is. And it's just like, I don't know, like, I feel like she does say, she says some, like, she does seem to say some things that are like, if I recall correctly, like, she just doesn't care. It's not like something that matters to her. It's like someone's sexuality, which I think is not even fumbling ally. That's just like how a person should think. Like, I don't care what your sexuality is.
Yeah, I agree. I do get the sense in a little bit that Rudy might like not really care, and also knows he's on TV, right? You're saying like saving face with the Navy, right?
Yeah.
Like with his Navy buddies, you know, like he kind of like, well, you know, it's going to be on TV. So I better like, you know, say I don't like, you know, not that I don't care, but like kind of that I maybe do, you know, maybe I'm giving Rudy too much credit this time, but he's just so fascinating. He's a fascinating, you know, he's how old is he when he plays? 72. Like, this cast, I mean, one of the other things too is it's skews far older than we're normally used to, right? So it's like a very different cast. Like, the fact that there is Sonya and Rudy mm-hmm. on the same tribe is like an anomaly, right?
And we have BB, who's like another person in their 60s.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, it's the only season, I think, that has three people in their 60s. Maybe
even on that tribe, like, Rich and Sue are also like in their late 30s. Like, that's a bit of like an anomaly, you know, from like in the early 20s, like the cast average was like 24, you know?
Yeah, Ghost Island had the youngest cast ever, I believe. I think their oldest player was like 43 or something, and it was like Brandon Shapiro, who is like ripped gym teacher.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, Rich and Rudy. It's certainly iconic, and it's incredibly memorable, and it's really fun to go back and rewatch. So I loved it.
Yeah, me too. I really enjoyed watching the episode. My dad did not. He left after 5 minutes. And
oh, really?
Yeah. That's okay. I got to watch it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to go rewatch the entire season, but it was really nice to just you know, just see those first interactions again on a show when no one knew what the rules were, and they were creating the game that we now, you know, obsess over. We spend hours listening to podcasts of, you know, we talk about it with our friends. Like, you go on and talk on, you know, the main Rob's podcast feed about it. It's very, you know, it's just like, it's just amazing. This is the seed that sparked it all.
Yeah. And like, you know, I think talk about like, you know, did they pat themselves on the back a little bit too much? Like, probably. And at the same time, like, you know, I am pretty happy that there's at least three like openly out people on the show. It's fun to watch, and their characters are not defined by their sexuality. So I'm excited to keep watching the rest of the show. But should we ask the question for season one, episode one? Does it hold up?
Yeah, I think we should ask. Yeah, I do think it It holds up in a way. And you know what, actually, it holds up in a, it's not problematic. That's how it holds up. But I think
Right.
because if you watch this episode and then you watch an episode of Survivor from like season 20 on, it's a completely different show. Like it is,
For sure.
like it doesn't hold up in the sense of like strategy or how it's filmed now or how it's you know, like how they do anything with the show. So I guess like in that sense it doesn't hold up. But in terms of like, you know, yeah, it just like being something you can put on and you don't have to worry about cringing your way through the first episode. Yeah, it holds
Yeah.
up.
I mean, I don't normally look through it that lens of like, you know, is it, you know, is it recognizable to not be like something that's new or whatever? Like I do wonder like how much like my nostalgia for it like plays a part in it's bingo if you can hear Grace's pump in a podcast. Check it off your list. Like I do wonder if if how much my nostalgia for it like feels like it's fun to watch. Like I think probably if you like watched last night's premiere and then you're like I'm gonna go watch some more like I liked it I want to watch more Survivor and you watch season one yeah it might be a little bit like it might be slow paced for you but I also wonder like you know there was a lot of talk when the Netflix stuff came out and people were diving into it during COVID like where should people start there's a lot of people saying like don't start with season one like start with something that's more fun and to me it's like I don't know season one is pretty fun. The cast is so good. They're figuring out the game, so you can figure out the game with them, right? Like this, like you know. Hopefully, I'm not spoiling anybody who's like, "Oh, I think I'm gonna watch it." But like, the Gretchen blindside is amazing. The Rich like final three, like taking his hand off the idol to like make this decision of like, "Well, you're both gonna take me, so you just pick. You know, you just fight it out." Like it's so brilliant. It's so fun. Yeah, and I'm glad it happened because I think without it or without Rich being on the cast, I don't know that it's on for 40 more seasons, you know? So, yeah, I think it holds up. Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's it for us for a little while. I think we're going to take a little break. Don't expect podcasts in your feed, but we'll be back after some time. I think it's a busy time in the fall for both of us. So, yeah, going to take some time, but we'll be back before you know it.
Yeah, one of us is moving again, aka me.
Yeah, it's not me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you have threatened to move and you're still in the same apartment.
So I almost moved and then I thought I really like living alone. So that's what happened. Yeah. But yeah, we'll be back before you know it. Thanks to everybody who listens. Now's a good time if if you've only been listening to like sporadic, there's a whole backload of episodes you can listen to. We've had some really fun guests, so we'll be back before long.
Yeah.
Where can people find you, Hudson?
Yeah, so I'm on Instagram. It's tagged in the Hold Up Podcast with 1P Instagram. That is non-binary. Like, if I see if you follow me, I'm private, but follow me and I see you're following the podcast, I'll follow you back and approve your follow. It's just, you know, it's work and, you know, just not wanting to be an overly public person, but I keep it private, not because I want to keep people out. What about you, Grace?
Cool. I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace, doing a lot of stuff on post show recaps, a monthly movie review podcast. We watched three movies that came out in the last month and talk about them. I'm doing James Bond rewatches. I've never seen it, so it's not a rewatch for me, but for a lot of people, it is. Before the new movie comes out, we watch three of them, and then we're going to jump back to the beginning after No Time to Die. And I'm starting a Succession recap podcast with Josh Wigler and Jess Sterling. That should, you know, the episode comes out on Sundays. The episode should be in your feeds by Monday. That's on post show recaps.
I need to watch Succession.
Twitch. It's really good, but it is a show. I will tell people, nobody is rootable. There is nobody good on that show, so you have to like know that you are just hate watching people. So
I mean,
just
I watched
yeah,
90 Day
for a fair
Fiancé,
warning.
so.
Oh, you'd be great. You'd be great.
Yeah.
You'd fit right in. Twitch.tv/DMPhilly. I play Dungeons and Dragons in Space on Tuesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern. And the other thing I've been doing, which has been fun, is Matt Scott and Latanya Starks asked me if I would come on to the Silent Podcast Network and talk about Black Widow Brigade, which is the YouTube show that a bunch of Rob as a podcast personalities have been playing. It's Survivor meets Mafia. If you ever played like the party game Mafia, it's pretty complex, but I think we do a pretty good job of breaking it down, trying to figure out who people are. It's sort of a mystery. Yeah, I've been following along with that. It's Mafia meets Survivor. So we've been reviewing that. That's on the Silent Podcast. network. We should probably still hype that we were on Shit 90 Shows talking.
Yeah.
Talking about Mrs. Doubtfire. That was really fun.
It was a lot of fun.
A great conversation. Yeah. And then the last thing I'll plug is just today, my old roommate, his name is Michael Harrison. He has a podcast called the H-Dog Pod. He works for TSN, the sports network in Toronto, the biggest sports TV channel in the country. And he has a podcast, and he invited me on to talk about Survivor, Big Brother, and the Toronto Blue Jays. So and a little bit of Norm MacDonald talk after Norm passed away. So that was really fun. Did that today. It should be out soon. So yeah, check that out. Follow my Twitter. I'll retweet the tweet when it comes out. Yeah.
Dang, Grace, you just were all over the place. Too much.
Too much.
This is why we have to take a break. You know, Grace needs a little breathing room too.
No. To be fair, I hold up is in my heart, and I will we'll pick it back up when we pick it back up.
Yeah.
But yeah, it would be. I'm not saying I need to take a break, but it will certainly be nice to take a break.
Yeah, and I just like with moving, I get stressed out. And I need as few distractions in my life as possible.
Yeah, sounds good. Keep watching Queer Media while we're gone. And tell us what we should watch.
Yeah.
Send us your recommendations because we'll be back sooner than you know.
Yeah, we've watched some recommendations that folks have given us, and they've been great episodes.
Yeah. Yep.
All right.
Well, all right. That's it for us.
Yeah. Bye.